Thank you so much, Brad.
Yeah, thanks for this chance to talk with you. Appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
I've been speaking with Brad Sauer, a rancher from Montana who has been inspired to travel all the way to Longview, Washington, to voice his opposition to Millennium Bulk Terminal that's being proposed. With KBOO News, I'm Kanan Schlesinger. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032, extension 203. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Lisa Loving and Jenna Yokoyama. The producer is Kanan Schlesinger. That's me. Special thanks to Free Speech Radio News. Our engineer is Sequoia Wright. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Kanan Schlesinger.
And I'm Jenna Yokoyama. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, three community mental health activists join host Paul Rowland to talk about a series of truth and reconciliation events in Portland organized by the Moms Movement, Rethinking Psychiatry and the Icarus Project. At 9, Political Perspectives features a lecture by Dale Retinella about his experiences as a death row chaplain in Florida for 18 years and his expertise on what the Bible scriptures say about the death penalty. At 10, it's Chris Andre hosts with Air Cascadia. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on the Recovery Zone, with host Stephanie Potter, she interviews Perry Gruber, founder of the group Copiosis, a resource-based economic system about retiring capitalism and repairing our world. Thank you very much to all of our KBOO members for generously supporting KBOO Community Radio during our recent spring drive. And as always, thank you for tuning in. Good night, Kanan.
Good night, Jenna.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Public interest groups announced their plan to stage demonstrations at a pair of annual shareholders' meetings of Chevron in California and Exxon's headquarters in Texas. KBOO reporter Robin Ryan talked about actions and objectives with representatives from Amazon Watch and the Union of Concerned Scientists.
I'm talking with Paul Pazzamino and Deborah Moore. They are from Amazon Watch and the Union of Concerned Scientists, and they're going to let our listeners know what transpired at a press conference that you guys just hosted.
This morning, Amazon Watch held a press conference with several guest members of communities that have been affected by Chevron. And Amazon Watch has been partnering with indigenous and farmer communities in Ecuador since 2001 in their pursuit of justice against Chevron, a company that was found liable for deliberately polluting the Ecuadorian Amazon over the course of decades, dumping 18 billion gallons of toxic waste into the Amazon rainforest, which deliberately poisoned the drinking and bathing water of 30,000 people. In one of the most important and famous environmental cases in history, they lost a $9.5 billion judgment, and since then they've been a company on the run trying to evade paying by pulling their assets and launching counter-legal attacks against their critics, the Ecuadorians, and anyone who'll come to their aid. So Chevron is going to be besieged once again at its annual shareholder meeting tomorrow by representatives from Ecuador who Amazon Watch has brought up to bring into the shareholder meeting confronting senior management. We also invited representatives from Richmond, California, another community that's been plagued by pollution and toxic gas from Chevron's refinery. A representative from the Asian Pacific Environmental Network was there to talk about how Chevron has been operating in Richmond for over 100 years. And in 2012, their refinery exploded, not the first time it's exploded, but it sent 15,000 people to the hospital. And Chevron famously tried to buy the local election by spending $3 million in a local election to try to defeat the mayor and city council members who were leading the lawsuit against Chevron. They famously lost that case because of grassroots support, and despite having so much more money to spend, the communities won out and Chevron is still facing action from Richmond communities. And we had Deborah from Union of Concerned Scientists talk about their work, and I'll let her mention what that is.
Go ahead, Deborah.
So we are going to the Chevron shareholders meeting tomorrow and bringing with us renowned scientist, Dr. Ben Santer, member of the National Academy of Sciences and a MacArthur Genius Fellow, and chief author of a chapter in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report, that the bottom line conclusion of the report was that humans are indeed causing global climate change. And so together with 20,000 actions by Union of Concerned Scientists supporters asking Chevron to stop their deception about climate science. And I highlighted in the press conference all this evidence that Union of Concerned Scientists has published in the climate deception dossiers that are internal company and trade association documents that show that Chevron, ExxonMobil, other major fossil fuel companies and their industry front groups have intentionally spread disinformation about climate science for decades. And that we know when you tell investors and consumers that climate change is quote unquote theoretical or quote uncertain or in dispute, while privately knowing that the opposite is true, that under existing law, that's called fraud. And so we are highlighting that Chevron and Exxon are having fraudulent business practices by promoting climate science denial. We also shared at the press conference some interesting research done by Richard Heaty and published in the journal Climatic Change in 2014 that shows that two-thirds of all the heat-trapping emissions from fossil fuels and cement since the Industrial Revolution can be traced back to just 90 investor and state-owned companies, including Chevron, and that Chevron is the single largest producer of historic carbon emissions since 1751, and that since 1988, when the fossil fuel companies really revved up their climate science deception campaigns, that 50% of all the industrial carbon emissions since 1751 have been emitted since 1988, half of all. And that cumulative impact of that 50% of emissions is really what's pushing us over the edge for climate change, and time is running out. And we got to stop the deception if we're going to stop the confusion and be able to take action to turn this thing around.
I know your organizations are working in unison to stage demonstrations at this pair of shareholder annual meetings. I'm hoping you can share with our listeners what the objectives are at these gatherings. Who's your audience? Is it the board of directors? Is it the investors, the shareholders? What do you want to say and to whom?
One of the things that I said earlier today, and I think it's very important that the people understand, at these annual shareholder meetings, first of all, it's the one opportunity that the public has where senior management and CEOs like John Watson have to sit and listen to what the communities they actually affect have to say. It must be open to shareholders. They can't refuse you access legally. And it's the one time when the true cost of their operations can be exposed to the people who are funding those operations. Chevron's annual report doesn't mention the human toll of its operations, neither does Exxon. It's only because local communities who bear the brunt of their activities, whether it be effect on climate change or deliberate pollution in these cases, so it's critical that those voices be heard. They need to be heard by the board, by the senior management, by the shareholders, and by the public, which is why in Chevron's case and at Exxon's case, There are going to be demonstrations outside for the general public to see, and also delegations with legal proxies to go inside the meeting to confront management and speak to the industry press, because we're inside the room. Not only will it be Chevron representatives, but there will be representatives from the press, from the industry press that discusses the specific oil and fossil fuel industry, and also from the general press that will write stories about the effect on climate change and the effect that these companies have on climate change. So our audience is basically everyone, but we have specific tailored messages. And in the case of Chevron, it's that John Watson and the leadership is steering that company right into a ditch, blowing shareholder money, lying and misleading their own shareholders, and lying and misleading the general public about their operations. And that needs to end, because this is essentially a pariah on civil society, and everyone is waking up to the actual effects that their operations are having on all of our lives.
I understand some resolutions have been and are being drafted to address how these companies can be held accountable for policy. How many are in the works and how do they read?
There are many resolutions facing Chevron and Exxon that, if passed, could really make a difference. The resolutions include requests to fully disclose their lobbying expenditures and activities, so their deceptive practices with ALEC, for example, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and with the Western States Petroleum Association. Those would have to be disclosed if that shareholder resolution passed. There are other shareholder resolutions requesting that the company make plans to change their business practices within a carbon-constrained world and better track and disclose carbon emissions. And last year, when Shell had a disclosure resolution and the company actually encouraged their shareholders to vote for the resolution, it passed with like 99% of the shareholders voting yes. Whereas here, Chevron and Exxon are recommending that their shareholders vote no. So our audience is shareholders, it's the management, and it's the broad public, many of whom are listening to your radio show right now, to let people know what's happening and that they can get involved.
There's a resolution related to fracking and disclosing wastewater that's been put into irrigation systems from fracking wastewater. There's a resolution related to having a board member with environmental expertise. There's a resolution related to special meetings, which specifically responds to the Ecuador issue and condemns the management for its handling of that. So those are six essentially activist or contrary shareholder resolutions asking the board to take action in a way that respects the environment. And the management has recommended voting against every single one of them.
According to the Corporate Research Project's Violation Tracker, these two companies have collectively been fined to the tune of nearly $60 million by the Environmental Protection Agency for violations of health and safety standards in a total of more than a dozen states, roughly 150 records generated. And that's just since 2010. Do statistics like this have any impact on people who make decisions about the standards of business practice or ever explore consequences that go beyond the monetary?
I think they do. I mean, the movement to end the fossil fuel age is picking up steam in many ways, like the movement in the United States to respect gay rights and gay marriage. Whereas before, the divestment movement was, I wouldn't say fringe, but it certainly was small. Now you've got former oil company owners like Rockefeller Fund investors divesting. You've got Bill Gates finally pulling his money out of it. Everyone, I think, who doesn't have their head completely buried in the sand and isn't essentially on the board of an oil company has recognized that we need to move away from this.
State attorneys general who are investigating ExxonMobil here in California, there's a bill pending in the state Senate called the Climate Science Truth and Accountability Act that would hold companies accountable that deceive the public about climate science. This is under an existing law called the Unfair Competition Law that regulates companies for their fraudulent business practices. And this bill, SB 1161, would allow the revival of claims under this law for 4 years so that the statute of limitations doesn't run out, because companies who successfully hide their deception shouldn't avoid prosecution. In any case, it's just another example of what Paul is talking about, where this movement is growing for accountability, and for clean energy. Americans and people all over the world want a clean energy future, and fossil fuel companies need to figure out what their role in that is going to be.
When do you expect the investigation of Exxon's failure to accurately disclose to their shareholders what they knew about the industry's impact on the planet and when they knew it?
Well, the investigations are ongoing, and it's really the state officials who are in charge of that. Several states have joined: New York, California, Massachusetts, the Virgin Islands, and several others are looking into opening investigations. So those have a kind of time frame of their own, and they're under the leadership of state attorneys general, so I can't really comment on what the outcome of those investigations may be. Certainly creating a backlash, and oil companies and Exxon is fighting back and kind of pretending to be the victim and claiming that all of their activities are protected by the First Amendment, whereas Eric Schneiderman, the Attorney General of the state of New York, says the First Amendment does not protect fraud. So we shall see how these investigations unfold.
I guess there was a part of me hoping to hear that these investigators are reaching out to organizations like yours asking for a look at your research.
Well, all of our information is public. We make it available, and we have shared information with several state attorneys general upon their request, and we've made information available on our website, so we stand ready to serve the public interest.
That was Paul Pazzamino from Amazon Watch and Deborah Moore from the Union of Concerned Scientists. For more information, you can visit the website at amazonwatch.org or ucsusa.org. KBOO's research team did take a look at Open Secrets and Good Jobs First to identify lobbying and campaign contributions, which total $654 million over time. A total of 24 members of Congress own at least $100,000 or more in shares of Exxon and or Chevron. Both rank in the top 20 of most popular congressional investments. These companies collectively have pulled subs.